living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Well, you can take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 13. Welcome. It's a big Sunday. Another big Sunday. So there is a lot of celebrating to do. A lot of celebrating. But before we get to that, I need to dare you one more time. Dare you to go. Dare you to go. When was the last time you had a little adventure? On your way into church this morning? Anybody have some adventure? You know, I think it kind of depends on your personality a little bit. You know, some of us like to play it safe, right? As little adventure as possible in our life. But sometimes life does not give you that luxury, does it? You know, you get up and you think you got your day planned, and then all of a sudden here comes a curveball and you're facing unknown situations. You're going to go do things, go to unknown places, meet new people, and all of a sudden adventure's right there. Well, today is a special Sunday in a number of ways, but there's a group of people here that are getting ready for some adventure. They're all getting ready to take a step of going in their life, a next step in their life. We actually have 6 seniors with us at Living Streams, and I want to invite them to come up and look at that. Our stage crew took care of the chairs. So 6 seniors, come on up here, have a seat. These are our going experts. So first of all, thanks, guys, for taking part in our service today. Thanks for helping me out in this daring them to go. So first, who's got the mic? Zach, you got the mic. Why don't you hand it to LaVon? And just go right down the line, tell people who you are like they don't know you, and what your step of going is going to be here.
I'm Lauren. I'm going to Cedarville University, which is about 2 hours away, and I'm going to be studying forensic science on the pre-med track.
I'm Zach, and I'll be studying design technology at Ivy Tech.
My name is Gavin, and this year I will be taking a gap year trying to find a job and just trying to find out what the Lord has in store for me.
I'm Matt, and I'm going to Purdue University to study landscape architecture.
I'm Kurt, and after I graduate this fall, I'm going to Ivy Tech studying fine art.
All right. A lot of promise here, isn't there? So you're all getting ready to go. You know it's been coming. So what has it felt like getting ready to go? As it comes, and, you know, just off the top of your head, you want to go, Kurt? Just here it comes, right? It's coming.
There's a lot of unsurety, obviously. There's a lot of, you got to trust God for, you know, what's next, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say a little nervous, but more than anything, really excited to move on and experience college.
Kind of echoing what those two said, it's exciting, but it's a little scary as well, but this study has been good because it's grown in my faith about, you know, we should be trusting in the Lord at all times, and that really is comforting, knowing that He's got my back and my front, and knowing that He's got me all the way.
It's a little confusing. I mean, I'm the first graduate in our family, so I just gotta trust that God will lead me in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it comes and goes in different directions. Sometimes I'm like really excited planning out my dorm room, and then I'll go to youth group and be, oh, I'm gonna really miss these guys, and I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm really gonna miss being here at home.
I've kind of felt the same way. I've been very anxious, but also excited at the same time. But just anxious because, especially going in undecided, I still don't know what I want to do with my life. But, you know, at the same time, it's exciting to know that God is going to be with me and He's going to help me with doing that.
Yeah. So there's some unsure, you know, some uncertainty, some unknown, some excitement, nerves, confusion. This going thing sounds kind of hard. So how does faith help you? How does your faith help you get ready to take the step?
I think it just helps remind me that, like I keep saying, that God's just going to be there with me. You know, it's one of those things where even if you're unsure of it, you're anxious about it, you just do it. You just go and you go for it, and God's going to be with you along the way when you do that.
Something reassuring for me is that He's been there every step of the way and reminding me that this is where He wants me to go. I haven't really had any doubts about that, of what I want to do and where I want to go. And He's been constantly reassuring me, saying, this is it, this is right. So that really helps in the faith aspect.
Mm-hmm. It's just been kind of interesting to see what God has done through high school.
Mm-hmm.
I've stumbled here and there, not going to lie. And He has been with me through, it might not, it never seemed like it, but He was there. And it was great knowing that He was there.
Well, I think that even knowing that God's got me in His hand, I'm His child, and I know that people here are praying for me constantly. And that's really, it really comforting for me to know that, you know, not only does God have me, but countless people have been praying for me countless times, and that really helps.
I think it's just helping me put my complete trust in God and just having faith and knowing that it's all in His hands.
Yeah, I'd also say, you know, even though the major I'm going into, I'm not positive it's what I want to do. So there's possibility for change. I'm just trusting God that He'll show me that. And
yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. He's there. I think we can almost go home. That's a pretty good message. Well, again, thank you guys. But before I have you sit down, I'd like for you to come stand up here and face the congregation. And if, parents, would you come on up and get behind them? And we're going to pray over them. I think that's an important thing to do. Joyce, if you want to come. And Tom. Is Tom in here? Tom's serving. That's what Tom does. He serves. Yeah, go on down there. All right. And church family, why don't you just stretch out a hand toward these people and we'll lift them up to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice at this group of people that You've entrusted to our care. We see You in them, and we're thankful for each life that You've brought here among us. They inspire us, and they challenge us, and they pray for us, and so we want to just put them in Your hands today. Knowing that they're facing a step in their life. Life's coming and it's not going to stop. And so I'm thankful to hear, Father, how they are looking to You in the midst of their challenges and uncertainties and excitement. And so we pray that you would strengthen them in the steps that they will take, give them light for their path and protection for their hearts. We trust you'll bring a community of believers around them wherever they find themselves to help continue to follow you. And we will continue, Father, by your grace, to lift them up to you and encourage them and visit them and welcome them home when they come back. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Well, they are in for some adventure, aren't they?
Yeah.
All of them are headed on to something different than life has been for them for a while. New places, new faces, new experiences. It's all ahead for them, and we're excited for them. But I don't want you guys to be jealous. Because if there's one thing that I know, it is that God is in the sending business. He's in the sending business. And so that means we're in for a little adventure. Do you know what your church name means? Living Streams. It's rooted in the Bible verse John 7:38, which you can find on the wall right there. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So that's telling us about the Holy Spirit flowing from the life of a believer to help live the life that God calls us to live. But Living Streams also represents you. Because the way I see it, every time you come in here and you sit under the preaching of God's word and you worship him and you fill up on his spirit and then you go out those doors, he's sending you a living stream back out into your world, your slice of the world, to give life to people. He sends us. He sends us out there. Guess what's waiting for you out there? New faces, new places, and new experiences. So you're in for adventure too. Now, the unknown of the adventure, the unknown of what's out there, that's the daring part of going. You know, and whether we realize it or not, when we walk out our front doors every day and we think we got our day planned, you know, we really don't have the keys to the driver's seat. So we don't know what's coming really for sure. So every day we've got that. So we've got that dare to go out there. But listen, it's the who that we know, that we commit our lives to, that causes us to go. And we go with Jesus in our heart and in our mind, hands at the ready, feet to do his will, and a message to give. So I'm going to dare you to go today, because you know what? Our Christian life is too safe. It's too safe. We've been playing it safe too much. It's time for a little adventure. Let's start in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day. Thankful for your word and just the activity that we read there of you in the church speaking to men, sending Saul and Barnabas out. And we recognize, God, that you are in the sending business. And I would pray today that your spirit would stir in our hearts for going, to take responsibility and part in the mission that you have set your disciples on. So have your way among us. Do what you want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first place I want to dare you to go is to go to God. Go to God. So those missionaries, those first missionaries, were sent out by the Holy Spirit, who stirred in a prayer meeting at the church in Antioch. Did you know where missionaries come from? They don't come from seminary. You know where they come from? The church. Ha! That means you're all potential missionaries. You know, I don't know if you noticed the prayer wall back there, but there's been tons of prayer going on as we've been going through the Daring Faith Challenge. Tons of prayer, and God's been answering our prayers. And there's a prayer card back there, and one of the things we've been praying is that God would raise up missionaries from among us. Like not short-term people, you know, like 2 weeks in and then come back. Like people who lay it down, say, I'm following Jesus to some place where they don't know him, so I can tell them about him. Are you ready for that? Because, I mean, those prayers are about you, about God raising up missionaries right here. See, when you go to God and you make yourself available for him, you put yourself in the place there at his feet where the calling happens, where the stirring happens. So nobody would ever leave the comforts of home and go to dangerous, dirty, dark places of the world unless God calls them. If they do go, they're coming back. Verse 2 quoted the words of a calling, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, Barnabas and Saul, they were the senior pastor and the associate pastor of the church in Antioch. Those guys were the leaders, the teachers, and the disciple makers of that body. And there they are in a prayer meeting with the people they've discipled, and the Holy Spirit stirs in them to send these guys out. Now, imagine you're in that prayer meeting. Imagine you're in that prayer meeting, and the guys in that prayer meeting go, hey, we're supposed to send our senior pastor and associate pastor, our leaders, out. I mean, how daring is that? They had to take up the mantle. Now, tonight, at the end of dinner, which starts at 6 p.m., yeah, we're going to spend some time together praying. Kind of like we did the last time we had dinner together at the end of February before the Daring Faith Challenge. And this time we're going to thank God for what he has done in our midst. He's done a great work, and we'll be asking him to send us out. I've got some insider information. I can't wait to share it with you about what God is doing. But all I can tell you right now is we're in for some adventure. We're in for some adventure. Now, realize this. This is important. This Daring Faith series that we're in is coming to an end. But really, it's just beginning. Amen. It is. It's just beginning, because now is the time where we go and we make daring faith come to life in our life. So it is just beginning. And there's calling ahead for us, and God is going to call us to go. You remember the goals that we had for our Daring Faith Challenge. And we used the word grow to kind of remember those. And we set those goals to glorify God and to mature spiritually and connect together. Connect more deeply together. And so that's what we set. And then the grow, it was gather and group more people in the stream to grow the church. And then to reach into our community with a Good Samaritan impact. To obey Jesus' command, to go into neighborhoods and other nations with the gospel, and to write God's name on the deed of our church. Those are the things, those are the goals that we are pursuing. And they're not going to go away just because Daring Faith is ending. We're going to pursue those goals because it's going to glorify God. It will be Daring Faith in action for us, and he will get all the credit. Now, the first step in going after those is to go to him. Is to go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom, ask for guidance, for provision, for power, and for protection. That's where we go first. And listen, I truly believe, from what you've turned in, your commitment, your faith commitments, I truly believe that God has started a new thing. He has started a new thing here. It's that verse. You know that verse, Isaiah 43:19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That's happening. And right now it's happening inside of you. But it is not going to stay inside of you. God wants to take the faith that you are, that is being stirred inside of you, that being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And he wants to make it come to life in our life. And that's going to be exciting. It's going to be an adventure. And it means we're going to go. So let me give you a daring prayer to say. It comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It's very simple. Here am I. Send me. That's a daring prayer. Here am I, send me. It took me a really long time to be able to pray that prayer with my whole heart because I didn't want to pray it. I was afraid. I was afraid about what that meant for my future and all the things that might happen. That's a daring prayer. Would you pray it? Would you begin to pray it? It means we're going to commit. It means we're going to commit more than just our treasure to the kingdom of God. It means we're going to commit ourselves to the kingdom of God. And so what that means is that here am I, you are available. You're available to be called up to service. Now listen, you might get called to Indianapolis or you might get called to India. You might. We don't know. But would you pray it? Is your faith daring enough to pray that prayer with your whole heart? Go to God. That's the first place you go. Let's commit together today as a church to give ourselves to the work of Living Streams and in this community and then wherever God might send us. We do that by going to Him first. Inevitably, once we hear the call to go, God is going to send us out to people who are struggling. So we're going to go to the helpless. God's community of people has always supposed to be a community of justice and mercy. We are supposed to be people who help hurting people. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, instructions to God's people. It says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. But you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart and you say, the seventh year, the year of release, is near. And your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother and you give him nothing and he cry to the Lord against you and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. And all that you undertake, for there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. You know, there's just no way that we could be a church that Jesus would want to come to unless we have a heart for the people who are helpless and hurting and struggling with life. Just no way. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a church that Jesus would like to come to. Verse 9 gave a warning to God's people there. And we should hear that warning again. What the warning was to them was, look, when you see a poor person, someone who owes money, don't think to yourself, oh, the year of Jubilee, the year of release is coming. Every seven years they had a year of Jubilee. And or I think it's maybe 50. I don't remember. Pardon me. But they got their debts were forgiven. And so he's saying there, you know, in your heart, don't look at the poor and say, oh, their help's coming. You know, God's provided for them already when you've got a way to help them. And I thought, you know, when I read that this week, I thought, you know what? We can have the same attitude, can't we? We see people who are struggling in our world. We see them at stoplights and we see them, you know, sitting out there without anything to, you know, cover their heads. And we go, you know, they can go down to the mission house. They can get a meal there. They can get their heads covered. They can get food stamps or whatever. I pay taxes, don't I? Aren't I already taking care of the poor? You know, that's the same attitude. And God's saying, don't have that attitude. We want to have God's heart. When we see the poor, we want to be able to help them in some way. Amen. We want to be able to give to them because that shows them who God is. So one of our goals is to reach into the community with a Good Samaritan impact. And so that's coming from a desire to be a church that helps the helpless with food and clothing and medicine and housing and whatever other kinds of needs that we are made aware of. Now, last week, we saw the Good Samaritan in action. He was on the road to Jericho. He got involved in the life of the stranger. He basically loved that guy back to health. He took care of him. He was generosity personified, paid for his welfare. He had this impact that was compassionate, problem-solving, face-to-face, life-changing kind of impact. That's what we want to have as a church. Now, as our church has grown, our opportunities to show that kind of love has grown too. Every other year, we've done a Jubilee sale where we gather clothes in the summer and we put a big tent out there. We advertise the sale, deep discounted clothing. People come here expecting to buy, get a good deal, but they leave feeling blessed because they find out that everything under the tent is free and they can have as much as they want. And we tell them, this is happening today because of the way God loves you. No strings attached. He loves you. And Jesus said, I gave to you freely. We are giving away freely. We've blessed over 500 people with that outreach over the years. Now there's talk that we do that every year. And I think there's even a little bit of rumor that we make it a Jubilee weekend. So who knows what that could look like. So that's there. And that takes a big effort. The past couple of years, we've developed a relationship with Angel Connection Food Pantry, which is in McCordsville, just right behind the barbershop. And so we're getting to take part in their ministry there, providing food to hungry people. Our youth served there last weekend, sorting 1,000 pounds of food and putting it on the shelves. And there'll be more opportunity there, more opportunity to provide fresh food, meat and eggs and stuff like that that they can't store for a long time. There'll be opportunity to go there and serve, you know, have face-to-face help, helping people who are hurting. So that's coming. Remember the hygiene bags that we did over the winter? I forget how many we collected, but it was enough to cover their need for 6 months. So, you know, those kinds of things, they're going to come. But you know what? That's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's going to be this big, huge magnet right over here called Meyer. And it's going to bring a bunch of people to our door, and they're going to want help. And we need to be ready to serve them. Micah 6:8 says, Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wants us to do, because we know him, and it is his heart, and he wants us to make his heart visible to other people. Now, on the seats when you came in, there was a card there with the Daring Faith logo, and it's a pretty simple card. Place for your name and a going idea. And what we'd like for you to do is if you have a ministry idea, something that you're a part of or you have a passion for, fill the card out and let us know about it. And we'll see where God directs us as a church family. You can bring it back tonight and we'll collect them up or fill it out today, whatever you want to do. But just we would like to hear from you where your hearts are. And we'll see what God does in leading us as a church to make a good Samaritan impact in our community. So when we go to God in prayer and we pray that prayer, here am I, send me, he's going to direct us to helpless people and we will find ourselves on the road to Jericho like the Good Samaritan. And it is there that we will get involved in people's lives, broken, bleeding, half dead people who need spiritual, emotional and physical help. Count on it. That's where God will send us. And then that prayer, here am I, send me, that is also going to give us opportunities to speak to people who don't know Jesus. It will open up opportunities to have those kinds of conversations. So we also need to go to the lost. Food, clothing, medicine, housing, all of those things, job training, whatever it might be, all of those kinds of things are called ministry. It's called ministry, but it's not our mission. Okay, and we have to keep them separate. Mercy ministry is an important thing. And it should describe who we are, people of justice, people of mercy. But listen, the church is the only organization in the world that has a life-changing, life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the only ones. And so we don't want to think that we are accomplishing our mission by providing mercy to helpless, hurting people, even though that's a really good thing to do. See, those are all good causes. But the church is not about good causes. The church is about a great Christ. And we've got to remember that. We've got to keep him at the center of all that we are doing. So, have you ever heard of the social gospel? If you've ever had a church history class, you might have. The social gospel happened about 125 years ago. It was a movement in our country that swept across the nation. And churches, scores of churches, jumped on board. And what they did was the social gospel moved the needs of hurting people to the forefront of the mission. And it moved the gospel to the background. And so ministry was happening. People were getting fed. They were getting clothed. They were getting housed in Jesus' name. But no one's hearing about sin and salvation, and their eternal destiny. And so the church got confused. Now, listen, the social gospel, you don't hear those words very often today because it's not really called that anymore. But it is still alive and well in America, at least. The social gospel is. You can get books at the bookstore, a plethora of books, that will shame the church for gathering in holy huddles and ignoring needs in our community. So the social gospel is still out there, and it's something we need to be aware of. How can you tell the difference between mercy work and mission work? How can you tell the difference between an organization that's about a good cause or one that's about a great Christ? Well, it sometimes is not very easy, but here's some contrast. One will do ministry in Jesus' name. The other will invite people to believe in Jesus' name. That's a difference. One will get applause from the world. In fact, the world could do that mercy. The other one will get rocks thrown at it by the world, by unbelievers. One puts needs as the first priority. The other makes Jesus the first priority. One's going to make a temporary difference. The other is going to make an eternal difference. We want to be about Christ and the eternal. Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable at a dinner party, about a dinner party, about God's great banquet. It goes like this in verses 16 to 23, Luke 14. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began to making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still more room." And so his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full." So, you know, this is where things really get daring. We find ourselves in this parable as the servant of God. If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus, you're a servant of God. That's who you are. And then God has sent the servants out on a mission to invite people to his party. Right? That's a nice invitation. Come to God's party. Now, that's what we want to do. We want to go out there and invite people to come to know God. Now, listen, some of those invitations are going to be invitations to come to this place. I want you to know, it is absolutely okay to invite people to church, even people who don't know Jesus. I mean, you know very well that not very many Sundays go by and there's an opportunity to trust Christ with your life and to trust him for salvation. So this is a great place to come and so people can discover who Jesus is and put their trust in him. You know, God is at work right here. Just this last week, 2 people prayed to receive Christ right here in this building. Amen. That's because we've been praying. Amen. That happened this week. This is a place you can come to know the Lord. And I love to see you partner with me in gospel work, in sharing the good news right here and growing a church. So we praise God for that work. And, you know, we're going to plan more Sundays that are like, we call them Friend Sundays. Okay? You remember back at the end of 2014, we did a Connection Sunday. And we went out and we knocked on doors for a few weeks and prayed and asked people to come and say, hey, we're your neighbors. We want you to come to church on this Sunday. And we had Connection Sunday and presented the gospel. And really, God did a great work that Sunday. So we're going to do more Sundays like that where we make you guys aware of it, put invitations in your hands, and so you can partner with us in getting people here. Christmas Eve, Easter, we'll take advantage of those big Sundays. When we have those big Sundays, I just think it's gospel time. It's time to share the gospel. So you can know, you come here on Christmas Eve, come here on Easter, you're going to hear the gospel, and you're going to hear a chance to believe in Jesus. So we got a going goal, right? That's part of Daring Faith. You can make that part of your personal going goal, to invite people to church. Now, for some people, we have to realize that they're never going to come to church until they come to Jesus. You know? And they don't want anything to do with this. They don't have any reason to want it, you know, unless God's drawing them. And so that means that we've got to be prepared to lead them to Christ. You know, we don't want our church service to bottleneck the gospel in our lives. You're the living stream. Flow out there with a witness and a testimony of what God has done in your life and share that with people in ways that, you know, God will just, if you start praying it, here am I, send me, he's going to answer that prayer and he's going to use you to share that. Now, there's training that we can give you, and we'll do that. If you want to take a Contagious Christianity class, we'll give one and we'll get you ready. We'll get tools for you to be able to lead somebody to Christ. And certainly we can do that. But most of all, it's you being willing to pray the prayer, here am I, send me, being willing to put yourself out there, to risk rejection, to risk persecution even, so someone can trust in Christ. You know, Pastor Rick, as we've been watching him over the past few weeks, he said a couple of times, you know, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? And I thought, well, no, only because of Jesus are they going to be in heaven. So I didn't really like that statement or that question. But I did like this. This thought came to me. Who's going to come up to you in heaven and say thank you because you told them about Jesus? Who's going to come up? I'd like there to be a line. Jesus and then me. I don't know. It's hard. I know it's hard, but we got to pray and we got to ask to do it. You know that sharing Christ with someone is the most loving thing that you can do for them. The most loving thing. So you've been praying about going goals. I've been praying about that too. And God's been stirring in my heart, and there's been some things that, you know, I just can't shake. And I've had this idea for a while. You know, we did the dessert nights through April and first part of May, where you guys all got invitations to come to someone's home and have some fellowship and hear about God's work that has been going on through this process of him providing for the church and buying the church from Meyer and, you know, all that stuff. You had a chance to come to those. I thought, what if we just kept doing those? Except this time we invite people who are not in these walls. We invite people who are out there who don't know Christ. And we tell them, you know, we tell them, you know, we're going to have a fabulous dinner for you. And we're going to give you something that you've never eaten before. You're just going to love it. But then we also tell them, we're going to talk about Jesus. And so we, you know, it's no bait and switch kind of thing. You know, no surprises, you know. So people know when they come, they're going to have a great meal and they're going to talk about Jesus. And then we just see who comes. And then we just see what happens. I'll make you a deal. If you host and invite, I'll come. And I'll share. And I'll invite. So pray about that, would you? I'd like to do that, you know, once, twice, four times a year. That's what a missionary does. We get out there and we go after people. And God works if we put ourselves in his hands. So I'm praying about that. I'm also hoping that every year for me personally, I can take a mission trip one week or 2 weeks a year to go out into a place that's dark and dangerous and dirty to share with people who don't know Christ. So it's one of my hopes. In 2017, Lord willing, Pastor McQuan and I are going back to India to take part in gospel crusade there and to teach people some discipleship training. So, you know, looking forward to that. I have relationships in Brazil that God, you know, 1998, I went to Brazil for the first time. And, you know, I went a couple more times throughout the years. And every time it was just this huge growth spurt in my life. And I remember the first time I went in 2002, I went as a pastor. And I remember getting off the plane and getting picked up by Pastor Telly in Brazil. He sits down next to me and he says, "You're speaking tonight." What? The first I'd heard of it. Pastor Shane and his wife Nicole were part of that outreach in Paudaio, Brazil. Apparently they'd been advertising it on the radio for a couple of weeks. So about 200 Brazilians showed up in the street in front of the old Paudaio church. And we sang a little bit. They were awesome. I would not so much. But you know what? God used it. And one lady gave her life to Christ that night. So there's great adventure waiting for us out there. And I'm praying some of you can come to Brazil with me. And, you know, did you know that the pastor who was the pastor in Paudaio, Brazil, God was stirring in him for Africa. And so Pastor Asuerio, I believe, is now in Mozambique, Africa. And he's a good friend of mine. So you know that fear you have when you say, "I don't want to pray the prayer, here am I, send me," because God might call me to Africa. He might! Because I know somebody there, and we could go. Would you pray it? Think about your going goal. Let God stir in your heart for being a part of his gospel work, inviting people to Jesus. Starts with, "Here am I, send me." But here's another one I want you to start praying. I want to dare you to start praying this. Pray that God will give you one person in the next 3 years that you could personally lead to Jesus. Would you start praying that prayer? Training or not, tools or not. Pray that God would send you one person who you could just talk to them about Christ and they come to you and say, I want to believe in this Jesus that you know. And you're able to lead them to Jesus. Pray that daring prayer. All right, everybody just take a big deep breath. Because that about does it. All except for the shouting. That's the last dare of daring faith. And tonight we'll fellowship over a nice spaghetti dinner. And hopefully you'll bring a story about what God has been doing in you through daring faith. No numbers involved in those stories. I'm the only one that had to do that. But we'd love to hear about what God is doing. It will bless us all. And we're in for some adventure. Because God is on the move. Let's watch this one more time. Just going to pray a prayer. It'll be on the screen. Let's pray it together. It's just a commitment prayer from our daring faith time together. All right? And then we'll sing all up here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in gratitude for all that Christ has done for us, wanting to grow in our faith and be obedient to Christ's commands, we make a covenant together today to use the next 3 years growing, giving, and going in daring faith. We commit to showing and sharing your love with the helpless and the lost, serving you by serving others in our community and reaching around the world as you lead us with the good news of the gospel. We ask you to give us each the privilege of bringing one person to Jesus in the next 3 years and see them baptized and become a part of our church family. We know we can't do this on our own, but only by trusting you with daring faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we have so much to come to praise you and give thanks for this morning. Lord, we look back over the past 10 weeks and really over the past 8 years. And we see what amazing things that you have done. You've shown yourself, and you have shown that your word is true and that your promises are true. You've shown yourself to be faithful and good. You've shown and revealed that your intent and your plan and your will has been good all along. Lord, we stand here gathered together in this tight little place, in this little postage stamp of these 35, 36 acres. And Lord, you've gathered us all in this one little spot here. We don't want to miss a chance to exalt you and to praise you for what you've done. Lord, aside from all that you are, that we could stand here and never cease to give thanks in words of exaltation and praise. We stand here this morning and we remember and we recall and we'll recount all that you've done to get us here to this point. Lord, you have affirmed yourself. You have brought glory upon your name and upon your word and your promise. Here we stand, Lord, affirmed that you're there and that you have a plan and we're somehow involved in it. Lord, you have changed who we are. We are a new creation, new creature in Christ. And here we stand, affirmed that you are who you say you are. And we also stand here affirmed, Lord, not to exalt this particular church or ministry, but Lord, it is true that you have affirmed what you began in the heart of Don Kennedy and others as they prayed for a church to come to McCordsville. And here we stand, looking back at all that you've done. You have affirmed the ministry of this place and of Greg and his family and others that have served, Lord, on staff and in elders and everyone who has given any amount of time and in prayer and in service and ministry in this neighborhood, in this area, Lord. You've affirmed all of this, and we stand here in the middle of this stream right now, and we look back at all you've done, and we say, Lord, you've been there for us in the past, and we know as we look across the rest of this stream that you're going to be there for us in the future. And really, it's not even for us. It's for yourself. And that's what makes this amazing, that, Lord, all of this ministry is not for our own good and glory. It's yours. So, Lord, we can't imagine, Lord, as that perfect shot of that video just showed us, Lord, as we pan up and we get a perspective of the neighborhoods that surround this little plot of land, and we look all around McCordsville and Henry County and the surrounding counties here, Lord, we're moved by the number of people that may come through this parking lot. And we're touched by just the humility, knowing how many will you call to come in here? Lord, it's true that you call us all to a mission. You call us all to ministry. You call us all to be ambassadors for Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. And Lord, the wonderful words that we've shared in worship songs together and in the song that was just on the video are amazing reminders of this great global ministry that you have for us. And then really the global ministry starts right here in this little plot of land. And you reminded me this morning, too, of these words from an older song that we work the field of souls together, you and I. Some fields are blooming now and other fields are dry. We're not the same, but differences aside, we'll work the field of souls together, you and I. One is off to foreign soil to work a distant land. Another anchors close to home to hold a neighbor's hand. One shouts the gospel in the streets for everyone to hear. He's bold to everyone he meets, and the word is loud and clear. But another cries alone and prays in silence on her knees before the throne, day after day, where human eyes don't see. Lord, you made each of us individual. You made each of us unique, and you've made each of us for your glory and your purposes. Lord, we ask that you would stir us and continue changing us, molding us into the likeness of Christ, that you would accomplish this great work that you mean to get done in your name, in us and through us. We thank you for being who you are and affirming this ministry. And we pray it all, and we give you all thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our coming King. Amen.
Amen.
And our treasure. Amen.